everyone. I'm Ian.
And I'm Sam.
And you're listening to Do I Like This, the podcast.
Ooh.
Where I usually bring Sam movies I found on the side of the road or that fell off a van.
Mm, yes, that's accurate.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And I watch them when I don't feel like I'm dying.
Yeah, which has been a lot lately.
This is our first week back in 2 weeks.
Your first week
back. Well, my first week back.
Welcome back.
Our collective, you and me together. Yes. 2 weeks, because we have been sick and busy and...
I mean, you made a cameo last week with this Cleo-ness of your own, which was stunningly spot on.
You could totally hear in my voice that I was still recovering from not feeling well, so that was fun.
Yeah. Well, it's good to have you back.
It's good to be back, I guess.
And we brought you back. With a vengeance.
Oh, God, you did.
Yeah. And to be fair, we both saw this. So this week is the 2021 modern day new classic Aquarium of the Dead by The Asylum.
This one's been, I follow The Asylum on Instagram and they've been promoting it pretty heavily.
Please go follow them on Instagram.
Well, I mean, yeah, they make half the movies that we watch.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Not a paid advertisement. Happy to consider it being a paid advertisement, The Asylum.
I doubt they'd waste the money to pay us. They barely put money into their movie.
I think they put a little money into this one, which was nice. So we had seen the trailers for this.
I hadn't seen the trailer. I just saw random little clips that they had posted or like pictures or whatever. Because I knew, I was like, oh, we should do this one.
Yeah.
Like, this is Ian's going to bring this to me. And I didn't realize it would be like now, but... here we are.
I don't know which one of us found it first, but we both kind of stumbled on it. So this was one where I watched the trailer and I got really excited. Please go watch the trailer. It's a really strong trailer.
Yep.
IMDb does maybe its best job of our short run so far.
Oh, marvelous.
Aquarium of the Dead, a one-line tagline, a scientific accident causes sea creatures in an aquarium to become zombies. Nailed it.
Yep.
Nailed it.
Which is funny because they never actually use that word.
No.
And they don't really give you a lot of zombie anything, really. They say that they're reanimated a couple times.
Yeah, we'll get into it.
We will, because
there,
this movie
sets
you up for something really big and exciting and thrilling and fun. And oh boy, does it not deliver.
Not to spoil the ending.
Right up front, going to tell you. Because you're going to hear it in my voice as we go through this.
You might hear it in my voice.
Yeah.
All right, Sam, take us away to the majestic Shining Sea Aquarium.
Mm. So this movie just starts.
I like that.
Like, jump in. We get the same sweeping coastal vista about 20 times in this movie. Literally the same exact shot, which we know The Asylum loves to do.
Staying true to their roots.
So we have a couple of orderlies running up with a cart. Mm-hmm. They're yelling back and forth about tagging and monitoring something. I was lost instantly. We had to rewind it and turn the captions on because we both were like, wait, what? 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 Because the movie just starts with them yelling at each other about random medical things.
This is the beginning of what will be a trend that Sam and I quickly decided was science jargon. And this movie's got a diarrhea of science jargon.
I get the feeling that they were trying to parody a little bit of like the medical dramas, especially in the next moment where it's two male orderlies. They run up with their little crash cart thing. They're outdoors at an aquarium. A woman in...
Dr. Karen James.
In an unidentifiable accent. That changes from time to time throughout the movie. Moves.
Oh my God. It's a moving target, that accent. Yeah. I loved it.
It's almost like Cate Blanchett in the unnameable Indiana Jones movie that we won't talk about anymore than this sentence right here. So she leans over and is yelling this octopus, medical terms. I need 20 cc's of blah, 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 stat. And she's going on. And
she's up on like the side of a tank. And these orderlies are like 10, 15 feet below her.
This is where I wrote like, oh, it's like an episode of ER, but obviously it's a parody because this movie leans in hard to the parody. If you don't know, they're the ones who made Sharknado. So they lean in pretty hard because they know what works. They know what works for them. And it's the stupid, funny
shtick, shtick, shtick.
Right. But, you know,
but parody. Yeah.
As they tend to do, it goes a little overboard, but we'll get there. she yells down for something, and the one orderly, you get like a zoom in on the name of the syringe he's about to unwrap. I couldn't read it.
No.
But it's important. It's from like the Eden Park Zoo, I think it's called.
Yeah, that's the only detail that matters.
Right. So he rips it open and he does a slow-mo needle toss and up to the lady who does this like flippy dippy, like move, grabs it and stabs the octopus.
I wish
with
you
it.
Guys could see the mannerism Sam yeah. pulled off right there. It was strong.
So then she starts saying, oh no, we lost her, about the octopus. It was in like cardiac arrest or something. I don't fucking know. So she's counting off like how long it's been deceased, apparently.
Since,
I don't know.
Since the cart's contracted.
I didn't understand what was happening until later on when she was talking and mentioned something about it. I was like,
whoa, spoilers that she's there later on.
Oh, well. Too many people are there later on. Let's just say this. Okay. So then all of a sudden, the octopus rears up and slaps her off of the top of the tank.
My God, bitch.
So
slaps
hard.
Her
this
hilariously.
Octopus is massive.
Yeah. Big girl.
Gigantic octopus.
Dexterous,
bitch,
too.
Bitch slaps her off the top, jumps out of the tank, mm-hmm. and just kills the orderlies.
I thought she was dead.
Yeah.
The aggressiveness of that slap.
So, yeah, spoiler alert, she comes back.
Double spoiler alert, she survives the whole fucking movie.
Yeah, I don't understand. She
oh
was,
my God.
I thought she was a red shirt, yeah. but she wasn't, I guess. She
I
was
guess
in disguise.
Credit for subverting my expectations.
Right. So then we get our opening title. There's lots of animals and viral particles floating around over the title.
This
sequence.
Movie used canned aquarium and wildlife shots as though
of
it
course.
Was the new fad.
Of course. No. I would expect nothing less.
I'm a big fan of canned like shark footage because I love sharks and all that stuff. But even I was like, I've seen that shark 12 times in this film.
Yeah.
Couldn't you get me another shark? Mm-hmm.
So then we get a voiceover by the legendary Vivica A. Fox, who will appear a little bit later.
Holy shit. I didn't realize she was in this film until that came up. And I was like, ooh. Right.
So we get a little voiceover talking about the Shining Sea Aquarium and the underwater depths and blah, 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 whatever. Then we open on our lady scientist, Miranda. She's sciencing. And she's doing an autopsy on a dolphin. She's saying, there's something viral, I think, but I can't be sure. Dun, dun, dun. Then we get Joe who comes in.
For the record, the dolphin's name is Hannah. And she's really sad about it. And I would be too.
Yeah. So I guess she had a special relationship with Hannah the dolphin. So then Joe comes in, and I think he's some sort of orderly, I think. I couldn't tell if he was like a fellow scientist.
Honestly, I thought he was a maintenance guy.
Yeah, I thought so
That's
too,
the vibe,
kind of.
He's supposed to get rid of it.
He's supposed to just be disposing of the dolphin's body. And she says, no, we've been told we need to recycle. And I like looked at it, and I was like, wait, what? Does that mean they're feeding
it
to other animals?
The plastics, yeah.
So they're going to feed the dead dolphin to the sharks.
Which you looked at me.
Yeah.
And correctly was like, if you think there's a viral issue with this, the last thing you should be doing is feeding it to the other creatures.
Mm-hmm.
But this movie doesn't really care about the logic of his science.
No.
It just wants you to know it knows some science.
It knows some science words.
Yes.
Yeah. And it knows some basic.
It took an undergrad intro to biology and anatomy.
Yeah. Knows some basic marine biology terms.
It's watched a few episodes of Dateline.
Of Blue Planet.
Sure.
So that happens. Then we get a different scene with another character, Daniel. He's a long-haired, tough guy. He's trying to do like a Mickey Rourke thing.
Yes.
And
like wrestler era Mickey Rourke.
And no, he's not doing Mickey Rourke from The Wrestler. He's doing Mickey Rourke from the Iron Man movie.
Okay.
With the hair and the face.
It's got like red carpet Mickey Rourke.
Because I can't really say anything.
But like later in life.
I can't really say anything bad about Mickey Rourke in The Wrestler because he was so good in it.
Oh, he's amazing in it.
So I can't even equate that Mickey Rourke with this guy. This guy's doing the Mickey Rourke from Iron Man. So.
Yeah.
He is in an office doing a thing.
Like prepping for the day.
Right. And some lady named Ellen video calls him. And as she's calling him, Miranda walks in. So the two of them are like on one end and this lady Ellen's on the other end and she's at the Eden Park Zoo. So she says, hey, something is wrong with the syringes that you guys had. And remember I said to destroy them. Did they get destroyed? I need you to confirm that they're destroyed. There's something going on.
Yeah, she said something bad happened at Eden Park that she didn't want to happen to you.
And we assumed that it was the octopus situation.
Thought it was the opening scene.
Right.
Yeah. Would have made sense.
Right. That I wrote in here, I said, the octopus incident.
Mm-hmm.
We were wrong.
Also, great band name.
Yeah. Should make a list. And Daniel's like, oh, yeah. It got destroyed. There was an order. We have a place that does it. They incinerate it. It's gone. She's like, well, I want confirmation. I want to see it. And he and Miranda just like blow her off.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah. It's gone. If he said that it happened, then it happened. And Ian and I were like, didn't happen.
Yeah, didn't happen. The question I had with their relationship was she newly his boss? Because they had that vibe of like, she was trying to like be the friendly boss, but also like not question him, but wanted proof. It was a weird vibe.
I got the vibe that I thought they were like ex-boyfriend and girlfriend. I thought that was going to be their backstory. Or I thought maybe they were like gonna date or something. I don't know. It was weird. I think that there was something else that happened that maybe got cut because their relationship dynamic was very bizarre. Odd
through the whole thing.
Yeah.
I will say, I give this movie a lot of credit for not forcing a fucking romance in anywhere. Thank you. Thank you. Not needed.
You know how much I hate a romance forced into a movie that doesn't need a romance.
This is the exact type of movie that doesn't need it.
Oh my God.
So while I can, I'd like to give credit to this film.
Listen, there are parts of this movie that are very enjoyable.
Oh yeah.
So then the next scene is Daniel, long-haired Mickey Rourke. He's doing a shark feeding demo with a VIP client. His name is Skyler.
Skyler is probably a 35, 36-year-old man.
Yeah. So Daniel is set up to like be sort of likable, but also be totally unlikable.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like says something rude immediately. And I was like, ugh.
He goes, Skyler. Didn't know that was also a dude's name. And you just look at Skyler and Skyler's like, oh, come on, man.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I haven't heard that. Just
here from a birthday show.
500 times from stupid old white dudes.
Yeah. I want to say this right now. Skyler's my favorite character in this movie.
Same.
And his and Daniel's relationship, my favorite thing about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
I also, as a 37-year-old man, would totally, at first I was like, are you really going to this? And I was like, I would totally go to a birthday VIP shark feeding. Yeah. Sign me up.
So Skyler says he's a nurse. And later on, Daniel makes fun of that too. And it's like, fuck you, dude. So I thought it was weird. So it's his birthday. He did this VIP experience. Why is he alone? Like, if you're doing a VIP experience, wouldn't you like have a buddy or two with you?
He does say he's so busy as a nurse that he doesn't have time for like relationships or other things. So
oh, he
I'm
does?
Just
I
guessing,
missed that.
Yeah. So he says that during this whole feeding experience.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So they go over to feed the sharks and they're Mako sharks.
Good choice. Solid choice.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're fine. They set it up to be like, Daniel's like, they're the fastest and most powerful shark. And yes, they are the fastest shark. But Ian was quick to point out, like, not the most powerful.
No way. Just from a physical, just physiologically, they're not.
Yeah. They're kind of like small.
Yeah. But they're torpedoes is what they're referred to often.
They're very fast. So my first thought was like, awesome. They're going to fucking murder people. Right. Like,
fast,
like torpedo shark.
Yeah.
Everybody. Nope.
No. Welcome to the beginning of disappointment.
Right.
Thy name is Aquarium of the Dead.
Yeah, unfortunately. So here's where they do a super meta Sharknado joke that was so cringy, and it lasted for way too long.
I didn't even write it down. I just shook my head with my hand in my like palm or my face in my palm.
He was just like, "Yeah, I'd hate to have one of those in a tornado." And Skylar's like, "Why the fuck would a shark be in a tornado?" And he's like, "Well, because you know, like
they get sucked up there."
You know. And Skylar's like, "No, dude, that's weird." And I was like,
thank you, Skylar.
It was funny. Like, Skylar is funny.
Yeah.
But I was just like, oh, come on.
It was a try hard moment.
Yeah. So then they start talking about the walrus. And
which does pay off.
It does pay off. So it does pay off. Yeah. And Daniel's like, oh, no, the shark would totally win in a fight. And Skylar was like, no way, the walrus would win with those tusks. And they're like, bam, 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 bam. And so here I wrote, we better get that.
Yeah.
Because I thought there was going to be a walrus shark fight. We get something different, which is equally as fun.
Acceptable.
Yeah.
But I want the walrus shark fight.
Me too. Maybe in the sequel they're setting us up for.
Listeners, please send us your best CGI videos of walrus shark fights.
We have another moment where Miranda and Daniel are interacting and she's asking about the medications or were they destroyed because there's a senator coming and they need to make sure that everything is perfect for the senator. Yep. And Daniel's like, yeah, whatever. I'm with this VIP. Get out of here. And I wrote, he totally flushed them or something. Or he like,
yeah, he looked at me like he put them in the toilet. I was like, yeah,
he did something that he wasn't supposed to do with them. So she's walking and the pipes are growling like a monster. So I thought maybe like the medication was in the pipes.
It's coming alive.
Something is happening. So I don't know. I thought maybe there were like little creatures in the syringes. I did write
at this point, Daniel is the bad boy of this aquarium.
Oh my God. The baddest boy spelled with a B-O-I.
Oh my God. He is the Kevin of the Backstreet Boys of this aquarium.
No, AJ. Kevin was the nice
one. Oh, you're right. Sorry. I was thinking if Kevin's facial hair kind of matched his.
Well, listen, you weren't a 13-year-old girl when they were cool, so I forgive that.
Hey, the fact that I accurately named one, I'm kind of proud of. Was it Keith and Jay and
you just wanted to old say, guy? You just wanted to say Keith's name. What up, Keith?
Actually, I didn't, but hey, Keith.
Hey. So then we have the senator, who they don't tell us this yet. They don't tell us till much later in the movie, but the senator is the CEO and the director of the aquarium, which is why this is important.
Yeah. They bring him in and he's complaining about having to meet with Miranda right. And all this stuff about like, if she goes on and starts giving too hard of a time, I'm like, well, aren't you just like visiting the aquarium?
Yeah. Like why do
your
you
point?
Right.
And yeah, I was confusing.
Like, and then there's like later on, Miranda's like asking him for money and stuff. I'm like, why is she asking a fucking senator for money? And then they drop later on that he's like the CEO and the director. And I'm like, why was that not clear from the beginning? It would make way more sense why they were interacting the way they were.
We should also say he has his like obnoxious assistant with him.
Oh, yeah. So he has his little assistant. And here I wrote, we're setting him up to get eaten like first or right away, right?
You would think. Yeah. His assistant's name is Beth and the senator's name is Senator Blackburn.
Yeah, I never refer to either of them by name.
They'll be a senator and assistant. But yeah, for those of you who are detail oriented.
That's their names.
I looked it up on the internet.
There you go. So in between each scene, we're getting like those canned shots of animals swimming in an aquarium.
Or the beach.
Or the beach.
It's ridiculous.
It was really silly.
For a movie, this movie is a long 1 hour and 25 minutes.
So then we get a shot of, I wrote Octolady, the doctor, from the beginning. She comes, she's like running through a hallway in the aquarium. And Ian and I were like, wait, she's fucking alive? Wait. Yeah. She's at
like a back door.
She's at this aquarium because there's a sign behind her that says Shining Seas. I'm like, hold on. I thought that happened at the other aquarium or the zoo or whatever.
Mind blown.
I don't know. So
she's also a dead ringer for June Diane Raphael.
Not as beautiful.
No. All right. She's
no
a
offense,
dead ringer for
no
a
offense,
stunt
lady.
Double for June Diane
yes,
Raphael.
Yes. Yeah. No offense, Dr. Lady. But
June Diane does Raphael, a fine job in this movie,
no,
too.
No, I'm just saying June Diane Raphael is way more beautiful.
Oh, yeah. On point with that comment. Yeah. Hey.
Oh, hey. So we were super wrong about all of that and the timeline. I was like, I wrote down, I'm confused. I'm confused by what's happening.
A lot of what happens in this movie is moving, like they're going from one part to another part of the aquarium. There's multiple things happening and it's very unclear a lot of the time.
It all comes together toward the middle and it all makes sense. But as it was happening, I was confused enough that it took me out of the movie because I was thinking about like, wait, then why did that happen? Wait, why did that? When I should have just been able to like be
stay
immersed
in the movie.
In this shit show, you know?
Yeah, you were trying to just rack.
Right.
Common
and
sense.
By shit show, it was enjoyable at this point.
Yeah, absolutely.
So at this point I was still like in it. So she gets on a radio and she's yelling for someone to come to the veterinarian wing. At this point, we get Vivica A. Fox. Her character is Edwina Clue.
Eddie Clue Clueworth.
Clueworth.
They call her Clue.
They call her Clue, spelled C-L-U, like Clue from Tron. I don't know if that was on purpose, but that's the only thing I could think of. We just see her like being a badass and she's like, I'm on my way.
Yeah.
And we're like, yes, Vivica A. Fox. Yeah,
Vivica's here to fuck up your dead fish. Don't get in her way.
She's my second favorite after Skylar.
Her role in this film is not what I expected it to be.
It's interesting. Yeah. It's interesting.
But she's Vivica A. Fox. She just
and she's also
does
like
Vivica A. Fox things.
She's also funny.
Yeah.
You know? We'll get there. So we're back to Miranda and the Senator. They're in a fishy tunnel, is what I called it.
There's a lot of Jaws 4 or Jaws 3 like feel.
Well, I was thinking like
through the tunnel.
It was like Deep Blue Sea, Jaws 3, The Meg, like all that, all those things with like the clear tunnels.
With a bigger budget,
with the fish swimming over and around you. Like it's all like that. And so I expected way more ominous stuff to be coming from there. Almost nothing. It was really disappointing. There was so much potential.
Oh, the
wasted.
Concept. When we heard the concept of this movie, I was edge of my seat.
It must have
signed me up, buy that ticket.
They must not have had the money to like put all of this like CGI into it. I would guess. I don't know.
Spend it all on crop shots of the beach.
And
that
Vivica
drone
A. Fox
must have caught him a lot of money.
So Miranda's talking to the senator in the fishy tunnel, and she's talking about how everything is super outdated. Mm-hmm. She's setting us up like
years and years outdated.
The safety systems are inadequate. There's no high speed internet. Everything is running at slow speed. Everything shuts down. It's all on this like,
old server connection setup.
So it's basically telling us like, oh, if when something goes wrong, you guys are all fucked. Yeah.
This is when, and I had started to feel it earlier in the movie. So the senator is the director and the CEO of this aquarium. Mm-hmm. And he's acting like being here and her asking for him to invest a little to make this a better experience, to bring in more money, is the most inconvenient, annoying thing in the world. He should be doing everything he can, you would think, because his job and money would come from doing that.
So it turns out his motivation is like he wants it to fail and he wants it to like...
He wants to sell it.
I'm like, so...
Yeah, so he's doing the whole like
burn approach. So selling a failing business. I couldn't tell exactly what the motivation was. Do you want to sell a failing business? Do you want something terrible to happen so you can collect insurance on it? Like, I don't understand. I didn't understand.
Well,
so,
as
whatever.
Someone who has some professional experience in the insurance world, what happens here, I don't think you can claim.
Zombie animals aren't under a policy of...
Well, I think it all starts off with negligence. And
that's
going to invalidate any of the claims coming from it, from an employee.
So,
thanks, Dan.
Next scene. So Clue's at the octopus tank with the doctor, and the doctor was describing what happened. And she says, because I wrote down some quotes, the octopus has become reanimated.
Yes, that's the word they like to repeatedly say.
The only word that they use.
So do you think it's their attempt at trying to science zombies?
Yeah. And also, I think they're trying to avoid saying zombies because it's so overdone.
But you named your fucking movie Aquarium of the Dead. It gives you the license to do that.
I don't understand the motivations. I just watch the movie. She also says that the octopus has toxic bacteria in it. Mm-hmm. And she says, who knows when it will attack again? And so she's basically saying the octopus has this toxic bacteria and anything it comes into contact with is going to infect. And it's violent and it's going to be attacking people. And
it's in the ducts.
It's dead and came back alive. And it's up in the ducts.
Yeah. This thing spends so much of the movie chilling in ducts.
Yeah. It's hysterical. It's like, did you ever see, you're probably, this is a reach. You're not going to know what I'm talking about. You ever seen the movie Airheads with Brendan Fraser and Steve Buscemi?
I know of the movie. I haven't seen it.
Adam Sandler. Oh my God. It's a classic.
Put it on the list.
It's hilarious. We used to watch it when I was a kid a lot with my sisters, my stepsisters. And there's a guy throughout the whole movie that hides up in the ducts at the beginning. And he's crawling around like stealing things and like trying to get out. Like it's hilarious. And so this octopus like in the ducts, it's like Bruce Willis in
Die Hard. Yeah.
Die Hard. Like, this is that octopus, apparently.
Well, because we'll find out the octopus like goes into offices, fucks with stuff, goes back in the ducts. Like,
yeah,
I love
it's
this
a genius.
Octopus.
It's like
oh yeah,
a 20-foot long genius octopus that squeezes down small enough to fit into ducts, mm-hmm. to duct work. So Clue is like, you know what? Got to shut down all the ducts. We have to shut down everything manually. Nothing can be shut down unless it's shut down manually.
Unless what about to happen happens.
Well, she says there's also a lockdown. So you have to lock everything down, and then shutting down the ducts is manual.
Yeah.
Miranda's unreachable because she has turned her radio down. Yep. So no one's been able to get her. And Clue runs into Christy, who I was like, intern? Employee? Yeah. Person with a shirt on with the logo on it?
She came in the scene. I was like, not long for this movie.
So then the doctor runs off and she finds Miranda and the senator. And then we cut to Ian's favorite scene with Hannah the dolphin.
Joe's back in the office. He's like, Hannah, I'm so sorry. And of course, Hannah then goes like, and you see like this smirking zombie dolphin graphic. So, loved it.
So the dolphin has like white eyes and like a veiny face. And that means it's a dolphin. And it does this, like Ian said, a little smirk. Like you see like half smile. And then
made me so happy. And then it goes like drills right into Joe.
Right.
Like,
and then you see just like some blood, but that's it. Like you don't actually see any of the attacks really. You just see like them smashing into a person.
I'm hit or miss on this movie if I'm okay with that, because I think if they had tried, it would have come out really badly.
Yeah.
So I think it was probably better.
I think they could have done a little bit more.
We do get some later that there's a little bit of a physical.
Yeah, but not enough.
It needed more.
For a movie like this, it's like very sticky. I think it needed more, but we'll talk about that later.
It misses a couple huge opportunities too. So,
Hannah, that happened.
Hannah, thank you.
So then we get the doctor, Karen. She is giving a rundown to Miranda and the senator about what's going on. And she's like, the octopus might escape, and then who knows what'll happen. She's again is like, it's reanimated. There's a viral outbreak. It could kill everything. And then all of a sudden we hear a loud thumping noise.
Oh my God. This makes no sense. And I'm okay with it. So multiple tanks across the or maybe the same tank, but across the hallway.
Yeah.
All the critters are starting to ram themselves into the glass
at the exact same time.
And they shatter through and start flooding it. And the senator and Miranda and everyone's like, oh, we gotta run away. And they get away.
Yeah, they get away without a drop of water on them, which was funny. So I have to be honest, I thought the way the pacing of this movie was going, that whole situation where the animals broke through was going to take longer. I thought we were going to get way more buildup and way more like menacing stuff happening in the tanks.
Oh man, like you were saying, like the shadowing, the things following the way you could have done
If you had like the sharks like coming up or whatever or something, like things like coming up and like being scary, like none of that happened.
Oh man, that's
a huge missed opportunity for me.
Such a huge missed opportunity. I agree with you completely. I will say you do get the buildup. It's just afterwards in this weird middle segment of the movie.
So then we're back down toward, I think it's the basement where Clue is. So Clue and Christy are together. I'm going to call her the intern.
It looked like tunnels.
Yeah. So they seem to be in a basement situation. All of a sudden, they're just like walking with purpose. Mm-hmm. And then there's water dripping down from the ceiling. And Clue's like, a tank is compromised. And then Chrissy just runs away. She just runs the fuck away. And as this is happening, the whole building goes into lockdown because once a tank is compromised, everything locks down. So everyone's stuck in the aquarium. Christy gets separated from Clue. Mm-hmm. There's growliness coming from the ceiling.
Vivica A. Fox, Clue, is so not fazed by a tank being compromised in the aquarium, which is a horrifying disaster.
She's just like a badass.
She's just very like matter of fact, like, we gotta do what we gotta do now.
Christy runs away. She's blocked off from Clue. She's like in a room by herself. She backs up against a wall.
Yeah.
And there's growling coming from the ceiling, and we don't see anything happen.
I assumed it was the octopus.
But it's the octopus is growling, and then she screams, and Clue hears her screaming, and she's
dead. It was just like, maybe you shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. Oh well. Bye, Christy. So then,
hope the internship was worth it.
So then we're back topside with Daniel and Skylar. All the lockdown alarms are going off. Skylar calls 911.
Oh, I love Skylar's instincts.
Right.
He's just like, what's happening? I'm going to call for help.
Yeah. And here's where we get the beginning of the bromance banter, as I'll call it. I didn't really write a lot of quotes because it was just like so much of it, like back and forth, like an old married couple. They're arguing about the lockdown. They're like, all right, let's go through the sea otter exhibit. And all of a sudden we hear growling and their faces are like, ooh, and then the scene ends.
Yeah.
So we don't get to see the fucking sea otters.
No, that was weird. We don't see some things you expect to see. We see some things you don't expect to see. Unique choices.
Some of the things they mention, we're like, oh, we're going to see that. And then we don't see it. Yeah. So it's like, oh, come on, give it to us. So now we're back. We're with Miranda, the doctor, the senator, and the assistant. And so from here on out, I call them Miranda and Co.
Yeah.
Miranda and company. They all figure out they had run into a in the theater where they do like their 3D movies or whatever. They all figure out, oh, no one has a phone. They either dropped it or they forgot it or whatever.
Senator is so angry that their phone was lost.
He's like losing his shit. Meanwhile, the assistant is still carrying her little binder with her everywhere, which I thought was pretty funny. So they radio Clue, and Clue's like, okay, I'm going to go to the central desk is what they call it at some point. It's like where everything, like the control panel.
Room. Yeah.
And so I was like, she's doing like the Samuel L. Jackson character in Jurassic Park. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Jurassic Park type things happening here.
Yes.
Not as good, unfortunately. Although nothing really.
I would say that's a high bar to ever try and reach.
So she's talking about like, I got to go check the breakers, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, please don't die. I don't want a velociraptor to get you.
I would have killed for a velociraptor in this movie.
Here's where we get the weirdest part of the movie for me.
Okay.
Weirdest this part.
Didn't make sense.
Unnecessary.
Wasn't necessary.
It was just weird. I feel like it slowed everything down. It like took you out of the action,
this
for
movie
lack of a better word.
Had an issue with multiple things doing that.
So we have these two firefighters. And at first I wasn't sure if they were EMTs. Maybe they're both, because a lot of times they're both.
First responders.
They're arguing about, like, one of them's like lecturing the other about marrying a girl or whatever. They get radioed in and say, hey, there's a 911 call at the aquarium. Mm-hmm. Go check it out. And the guy, they're literally like next door. Yeah. They like look
like
over and see it.
And the aquarium's across the pier.
And they're like, oh, we're 30 minutes out. And then they just keep chatting. Like, that's not what firefighters do.
I turned and looked at you and I was like, that is the opposite of a firefighter's instinct. Like,
right.
Their first thing is get there, help people. Everything else can wait.
I have
firefighters in your family.
I'm sure that lazy firefighters exist that are like, I'm not going to go on this call. But when you know that you're the only people going on the call, like, you're going.
Especially when it's 20 steps to your left.
Right. And also, these guys are probably like paid firefighters. They're not like the volunteer ones.
So they're gonna keep showing up throughout the movie, and if this plot line could just have been gone, it would have made no difference to the film.
It was very weird. I don't know what was happening. I really feel like filler.
It has to be filler to get to time.
No, I really feel like this stuff got left on the cutting room floor. That's my guess. That's my hope.
I would hope so, but there's so many filler. Between this, if you add this and all the filler shots, that's 10 to 15 minutes of this movie.
So that happens. We get Clue going into the control room. There's slime dripping down from the computer. And she's like, I think the octopus was here. And it's like, oh my God. Oh my God.
Dude, the octopus knew what it was doing. It slimed up all their shit.
Yeah.
And then it's like, all right, I'm out. You guys deal with this.
So we're like jumping around a lot from here on out, like jumping between these three groups. So there's Miranda and company. There's Clue by herself. And then there's Daniel and Skylar. And then these rando firefighters.
Up there with like the hazing for movies that jump all the fuck over the place.
When you have that many cast members all doing different things, trying to get to one place, it happens, but it's a bit much.
Not to compare it again, but a movie that does this well is Jurassic Park.
Yeah. So we get Clue over the loudspeaker talking. Daniel and Skylar are outside. This is where they do their little shimmy.
Don't touch the fence, it's electrified.
Yeah, Daniel's like scooting. I wrote that he was prancing because he was like, whoa.
I said he sashayed away from that fence.
Yeah. He's prancing past it going, don't touch the fence. It's electrified. But there's like feet beside him on the other side.
Oh, yeah. There's no fence on the other side.
So he could have just backed up a little bit. Right?
Well, not if you want to stay in shot.
That's true.
This is where their bromance really hits a high.
Here's where I wrote, why didn't they show the otters? Because I thought that was going to be happening. Daniel goes, there's something wrong with the animals. And I'm like, no fucking shit, dude. So I guess the otters attacked them, but we don't see that. Then we get this little exchange.
Oh my God.
That kind of cracked me up. Where Skylar is like ranting.
They're worried, like, all right, we got to get out of here. And he goes, we smarter than the fish. We got hands. And Daniel interrupts and is like, hey, that's specious.
And he says, and otters are mammals.
Yeah.
And Skylar's like, okay, well, I don't, like, we're fucking smarter than them.
We're fucking smarter. Yeah. We should still be able to handle this.
So
yeah.
They're just like going back and forth. And it was enjoyable. It was funny.
They were the comedic relief.
Yeah. They were fun. So then Daniel's like, you know what? There's tunnels under the aquarium. We're going to go back the way we came and go to the tunnels.
And Skylar's like, okay.
And so Skylar's like, is there going to be, you know, is there a bathroom? Because I got to pee. And he's like, yeah. And then there's like fucking vending machines and shit too. Like, what do you want? And Skylar's like, well, I hope they have a candy bar because you're hangry.
Yeah. And all like, I could think of was like, God. Knowing this movie, I'm like, please give him a Snickers later. I will laugh my ass off. They don't. It would have been great. Dad joke. Would have loved it.
They're funny. They do a lot of meta jokes and it's fine. Like it's really fine. Like it was enjoyable. Cause look, I went into this movie knowing
where
it is in the hierarchy of quality. You know, I knew that I wasn't walking into Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
So, you know, anything like this, even if it's like a little overdone, is enjoyable because
what you're expecting.
This is what I expect from this sort of movie. So now we're back to Miranda and company. They left the theater. They're walking through the aquarium because it's shut down in quadrants. So they have to get from one quadrant to the other, but the doors are locked between them. And so they're like trying to wander around and figure out how to get out.
Yeah.
Basically. Miranda goes, that sounds like the crocodiles. And I wrote, yes, please.
Yeah, please be crocodiles. And it is.
We get a massive crocodile.
And not to harp on it again, a massive Jurassic Park reference.
Yes, yes.
This scene cracked us up. It was so really funny. Much.
So this gigantic, like, dead crocodile, I guess.
Reanimated,
sorry. Is crawling very slowly.
Oh my God.
Through. They all get
very
behind.
Laissez faire, yeah.
They get behind this plastic display case. Sure. I don't know. Yeah. And they're ducked behind it. And it comes creeping by. But all you see is it's one eye. Because, oh, you know, their God. Eyes are set up on top of their head. You see its eye. And then
it, like, silhouette. Like,
the tiniest bit, like a half inch of its back going by, and their eyes peeking up from
all, like,
behind,
peeking up comedically over the display,
and it just happens forever. It took a really long time, and we just laughed the whole time. It was so funny.
This is exactly the sweet spot for this movie.
Yes. So then it goes by, and they're like, "I think it's gone," and they stand up, and all of a sudden, it's right there, and I wrote, "It's a coming."
Oh my God, it's so good.
So then they run back through the doors that they came through, apparently. And that's the end of that scene.
Yeah. At this point, the movie had picked up some good steam in the last few scenes. I was really enjoying it. But I was starting to think of, like, all right, that crocodile didn't really chase him. I feel like there's some missing detail here. It's interesting how, like, they set up this try to be a suspenseful scene. And then once you find out what happens in hindsight, you're like, there's no suspense in that scene at all.
No, it doesn't do well at giving us suspense because there's no chase and there's no payoff.
No.
Typically, a couple of scenes we get a little payoff, but it needed to be more ridiculous or it needed to be more serious. And it did not, it wasn't quite
there.
Let's
be real. It needed to be more ridiculous because that's where its strength was.
Yeah.
I did write for the first time in this movie, someone hasn't died in a while.
I was surprised by how many people hadn't died at this point.
Yeah.
I was assuming that there would be, like, people in the aquarium, and that things would be happening to, like...
Had to be budgeting.
Yeah.
Because that's the movie I wanted. I wanted,
running amok in an open aquarium.
Yeah. I wanted, like, the Boston Aquarium filled with people and the things explode, and it's... I wanted Jaws 3.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. With maybe zombies. Maybe in the sequel.
planetarium of the dead.
So the next scene, we get our fire department guys, and they're just meandering slowly toward the aquarium. The one guy's like, I don't see a fire. And the other guy's like, it's a fire until we see otherwise, which I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though you are just, you don't give a shit, obviously, because if it is a fire, everyone's dead. Okay. So then they're just like, all right, well, we're just going to walk around the building and see if we see anything. And then we get more shots of the beach.
Oh my God. There's just so much unnecessary filler.
So then we're back to Skylar and Daniel.
Oh, yes.
And Skylar makes a comment about wanting armor. And Daniel makes fun of him and he picks up an axe.
Because let's make a note, they're now on the kids' pirate ship exhibit.
So they call it that, but it's like a giant steel ship. It's like the Intrepid in New York City, if you've ever been there.
Yeah,
like,
that's a good point.
It's like a naval destroyer.
Yeah.
So
hell of an exhibit.
I guess apparently the way that this is set up from the way it's described is this ship is parked wherever. And when you go down inside, it leads into the aquarium.
Yeah, they must have fused it into the aquarium. I don't know. Anyways, what is about to happen is one of my favorite meta references. Now, I doubt it's exactly referenced this way, but in the Metal Gear Solid game world, there is a joke about a crab battle where a crab picks up a knife and Snake has to fight a crab. And they call it crab battles. So the fact that we get a crab battle on this boat, I was so happy. So happy.
To me, they seem more like face huggers, but maybe it's a little bit of both.
The second one, definitely. The first one was a crab. Oh, yeah.
The first one. They're, I mean, they're all crabs. Let's be
serious. We got a crab axe battle, and I was so happy.
So then we get a crab, like a gigantic crab jumps on Daniel, and Skylar grabs the axe, and he raises it above his head because Daniel's on the ground with the crab on top of him, and he raises the axe like he's going to come down and hit the crab, and Daniel yells out, whack it, don't crack it.
So good. So then he hits it a couple times, and then he punts it 100 feet off the boat.
He hits it like a golf, like he's golfing.
And by a crab, I mean, this is like a large dog-sized crab. Yeah.
It's huge.
Can we talk for a second about these two actors and their wonderful efforts to green screen mime being fought by crabs?
It's got to be so difficult to do that. It was fine.
It was good. I just couldn't. I'm laughing just imagining.
Well, because the crabs were very CGI.
They were very CGI. Yeah.
My problem with this was when Skylar
punts. He punts it.
Whatever the move is, where you hit the thing with the golf club and it flies really far.
Yeah.
Drove it into the ocean, apparently.
Yeah.
I said to Ian, I was like, wait, doesn't that mean it's going to infect everything in the ocean?
Yes.
100%. Is that the sequel?
That's where I would go.
Right? Okay. I'm going to keep postulating about what I think the sequel is.
Dear Asylum, because I know you listen, please, please take that storyline from this movie and go forward.
So then after he saves Daniel, who has like a massive gash down his face.
Oh, he's cut up too. His chest is all cut up. Yeah. He got a crab fight.
A little tiny crab face hugs.
Like it was thrown out of a cannon.
Yes. Face hugs Skylar's face.
It was great.
And then Daniel, you know, whacks it off for him. So these two are just.
No one take another try at that line?
They're just whacking off the crabs.
Whack each other off all of this boat.
Whacking each other's crabs off.
Oh, man. Just two seamen doing seamen things. This is, and I want to point out in my notes where I wrote, in a heart, Daniel and Skylar for life.
I mean, because that's what's happening.
I will put a picture of that on Instagram. Yeah.
So then we are back to Miranda and company, which made me sad because I wanted more Daniel and Skylar, but we can't have it all, can we? So now they again come out of their hiding place in the theater. The senator is saying, let's just go smash the glass.
Yeah.
Like the fish did it. And Miranda says, nope, that's not going to happen because
reasons.
The pressure from the fish and she describes the glass and how it's not possible. And then she says the doors are only going to be open from central access, which is where Clue is.
Mm-hmm. The senator had a real hard time understanding this.
Oh, he just was like, he was like entitled white man.
Oh, yeah.
He was like a Karen. Get me out. Get me out because I said so. Mm-hmm. And I don't care what you're saying.
Still here?
stop saying words into my ears. Just get me out of here.
Why am I here?
Right. So then, so they had been like, at this point, they're like going through the aquarium trying to figure out how to get out. And they're like,
oh my God.
They're like, oh, we can't get there. I guess we have to go back to the theater. Like, come on.
All right. If I was going to like take, say, like a one of those Wheel of Fortune wheels, mm-hmm. put every sea creature on it, but like logically each one gets like a bigger one and a smaller one. This sea creature would have gotten one of the smallest like little spots to land on. Yeah. But if you land on it, it's going to be fucking hilarious because it's goddamn zombie starfish.
Oh my God.
Holy shit. I was so excited when I saw
that. I couldn't
handle
it. I could not handle it. The starfish are gently crawling toward them.
Yeah, it's happening in the background. Yeah. And it's taking them way too long to notice. Because at this point, you should be alert all the time for things around you.
You should be looking around for creatures crawling at you.
You are in like the equivalent of a war zone. You should always be alert that the enemy is somewhere.
They're arguing about the integrity of the glass and not listening to the person who's telling them what she knows. Weird. That never happens.
Dr. J's accent was jumping all over the place in this scene too.
So at this point, while the starfish are attacking, mm-hmm. the doctor's like, smash on them. You have to break the neural nerve. And she's like talking about smashing it, whatever. So then they run back to the theater. They're holding the door shut and the door is like shaking. And I was like, dang, those are some strong ass starfish. Whoa. Holy crap.
Those starfish lived.
Yeah. So then it turns out the doctor has a couple of starfish on her back, on her lab coat. Mm-hmm. She starts freaking out. She takes off her coat. Thank God. Because Ian's like, take off your fucking coat. It's
the simplest solution. But people always in movies don't make that decision.
And so she starts stomping on them, smashing them, whatever. And then her and Miranda have this whole really long discussion about basically what it boils down to. Is that the starfish shouldn't be surviving out of the water. Mm-hmm. The secretions of the venomous animals are more potent than they should be. Mm-hmm. And there's just too much of explaining things in science terms.
This conversation is so long.
Everything that they're saying, like, is pretty much spot on, like, makes sense, whatever. We don't need it.
We need more kills. Give me more kills. Yeah.
You can say like, oh no, look, these are usually like slightly venomous, but now they're very venomous. So we have to be careful.
How are they alive outside of the water? Simple. One line. Right. Done.
They do this whole thing where they're just trying to show you how smart they are.
Someone who in the writer's room in this movie
was a marine biologist
I apologize. I assume there was a writer's room and not just one person throwing this together. Somewhere in the process of writing this film, someone was like, I need to show you how much I know.
The senator's like, fuck this shit. We're going to the roof and we're calling for help.
How do they only just think of the roof now was my thought too. Like, right. Let's get up out of the water, add all these critters. Let's try to get on the roof. Because you're in a downtown area. People could hear or see
yes.
you.
So that's the other thing. I totally forgot to mention this. When the fire department guys were walking there, they're walking around the perimeter of the building. There are hundreds of people walking around. This is like a downtown city. There's a ton of people. I'm like, how does no one realize?
No one heard those tanks shatter and erupt in the building. Like, they probably made some noise.
No one heard the alarms going off.
Because they went off for 13 seconds.
No, they went on for longer than that. They went on for a while.
Oh, you're right. They stopped 10 seconds after she said, wait, they'll stop in a second.
Yeah.
It was just so arbitrary. Because clearly the director's like, I don't want blaring in the background of the whole film.
Well, yeah, that's a smart move.
Yeah, I agree.
So we flash back. Daniel and Skylar are on the boat. There's a whole thing where they're like opening a door and one-upping each other and bantering.
Daniel looks into a mirror and he sees the cut in his face and he goes, oh yeah, this scar is going to get me laid.
Yeah. So they're in the boat at this point. They're like, we're fucking staying in this bunker. We're not leaving. And I think that's the smartest idea in the movie. However, mm-hmm. the ductwork is attached and we'll find out later that they're going to need to leave. So. Nobody gets that lucky. The next scene is the fire department guys again.
My God.
They're just on their cell phone, like trying to call people. Right. That's what I was going to say. They're somebody's buddies.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I'm calling. It's just a switchboard. No one's answering. Oh, I'm calling the head of security. No one's answering.
I got someone else's cell phone. Let me try this one. It's just ringing.
And that's it.
Yeah.
End of scene. So then we get Clue on the radio with Miranda. She's like, listen, it's going to take me a half hour to get operations running again because the octopus slimed everything, slimed the console. I can't override the lockdown until I get it back online.
I feel like a half an hour to un-gooify and get electronic equipment working is miracle work.
Right.
Like that's, I'd be like, okay, cool. That's fine.
There's a reason why they hired her.
Ian. Yeah. She's the best.
She's a technical genius, among other things. She also informs them, you can't get to the roof during lockdown. It's locked down. So I thought that was pretty funny.
She nailed her lines.
Yeah. So Miranda and company are in an area where she informs Miranda and company. They're in an area where the doors are not waterproof. They're only fireproof. So you need to keep moving.
Yeah.
So get out of the fucking theater you've been in for most of the movie at this point, please.
And you keep going back to for right. reasons.
Right. And in my head, I'm like, get us some action. Get out of goddamn theater. Do something fun.
Or just get me back to Daniel and Skylar.
Right. Interact with some animals so somebody dies. Please. So your wish is granted because now we're back to Skylar and Daniel.
Say, the movie does grant my wish here.
Yeah. They're bantering about their jobs. Here's where Daniel's like making fun of Skylar for being a nurse. And he's like, fuck you, dude. You're like a loser who hangs out in an aquarium all day.
He's like, I got plans.
Yeah. So at this point, this is when they start to hear the growling in the duct work. And they're like, oh, I guess we have to go to the aquarium. Then they make some more meta jokes. It's a little over the top at this point, but it's still entertaining.
It's better than the alternative.
Right. At this point, I was like, but I still like you the best. Skylar's talking about how he's concerned about the sharks. And
I started to get excited.
Yeah. And Daniel's like, I'm not concerned at all. They're in a tank with all this glass. They're not getting out. And I was like, oh, God, I hope one of them eats him so much.
Or anyone.
Right.
Honestly.
And then at this point, this made me actually laugh out loud. I don't think I really laughed, like genuine laugh, other than like laughing at something for being ridiculous. Yeah. This actually made me laugh because it was comedic. There's growling in the ductwork as they're like moving along the hallway. And Skylar goes, did you hear that? And Daniel's like, of course I did. You're freaking me out, man.
I wrote that line. It's so good. It's so
like, of course I heard that. Like, what the fuck?
I know. I'm aware. Stop it.
It was really funny. Yeah.
They were fun. They were really fun together.
So now we're back to Miranda and company. And I'm like, I'm all set with them. I want all of them to be eaten by something. I was hoping for jellyfish, but we don't get them.
Jellyfish would have been fun.
Yeah. The doctor is poking at the dead starfish. More sciencey jargon. They get on the radio to Clue and they're like, hey, the slime, don't touch it. It might be viral. The creatures are reanimating and it's possibly contagious.
I made a note here. Her response, Clue takes horrifying, terrible news like it's a goddamn grocery list on her day and just handles it.
Well, she's like, of course I'm not touching the slime. Thanks.
Yeah. She's awesome.
Yeah. So here I wrote a note because at this point, Daniel and Skylar had been attacked by crabs and cut up.
Yeah. And it's a virus, we think.
Right. So I wrote, ooh, are Daniel and Skylar going to turn into zombies?
Well, they tease it.
Yeah, they don't, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I'm just, Daniel, listen, I'm giving you all the spoilers Daniel now because I don't want
a little bit. Oh.
I don't want anyone to get their hopes up. So I'm giving you all the spoilers now as we go. So at this point, Miranda miraculously finds some maps of the facility in the theater room.
And where you keep your maps, obviously.
Right. And it's not like the visitor maps. It's got like...
That's what I thought they might find.
Right. It looks like it has like the ductwork.
Oh, I'm pretty sure these were the blueprints for building the actual aquarium. I was like,
why are those in the theater? But whatever.
Yeah, so we then cut to Skylar and Daniel upside, and we get that fake out. Daniel starts to faint a little bit, and Skylar's like, I got you, man. I'm a nurse. He goes over this random stand of water that just happens to be there.
No, it's the crash cart from the octopus, because they're at that little amphitheater.
Right, it's the crash cart. So he grabs a bottle of water, and he goes, you've lost a lot of blood. Drink this. And I go, does water give you blood, nurse Skylar?
No, but blood gives you water.
Blood does give you water.
Water is made of, or blood is made of water.
But so he takes like three sips and his like zombiness is gone and he's backing up and going.
It wasn't even a zombiness. He was just like, I'm gonna faint. I've lost a lot of blood. I'm woozy. And Ian and I were like, yay, zombie. Oh, no.
That would have been fun.
And then I was like, wait, does the water cure them?
Yeah.
No. There's like, I was speculating about everything because I wanted something else to be happening.
And that's the best way to enjoy these movies, is just let your imagination run. And
yeah,
occasionally when you're pleasantly surprised, it's fun. I did write Somebody Needs to Die Soon at this
point. Oh my God, yes, please.
Like, I would have even taken Daniel dying of heat stroke. Like, I would have been okay with that.
Yeah. Crab wounds.
Yeah. Just his tombstone is just like residual crabness. He was crabby.
Crab laceration to the face.
Yeah.
In the face. Then we get our fire department guys again. They're looking through the gates, and here's where they see the giant crocodile wandering, and then they become like, oh shit, there's something wrong here.
Yeah.
Not that, because at first they're like, oh, there's like no people. I don't see anybody.
It's closed.
It's closed. It's supposed to be open. Whatever. So then We have a tall, skinny fire department guy, and we have the bearded fire department guy, as I call them. Beard goes, we have to go in there. And the skinny guy, and so he gets on the radio with dispatch. Mm-hmm. And dispatch is like, no, you have to wait for animal control. And Beard goes, no, we're going in. And the other guy's like, oh, okay. So
what's funny is Beard was the one earlier who was trying to like be like, I guess there's no fire here. Let's leave.
Right? Yeah, oh, we can go home, right?
Yeah. Also, they're looking just through like a normal fence. And you can see it. No one else saw this giant crocodile. There's hundreds of people around.
Right. Nobody's seeing this happen.
Or maybe they're like, I guess that's what happens at aquariums.
And hold on. If the crocodile is interested in eating people, wouldn't it be drawn to the fence? Right? Where all the people are.
That would make sense if it wasn't the scenario. Cliffhanger for later in the podcast.
Yeah, we'll reveal a little later something that actually makes it even more ridiculous that it's not going toward the fence. So now we're back to Steven and Daniel. And I wrote, they're in the aquarium. And I wrote Octochop.
Yes.
What happened? I don't even remember.
And croc. I'm not sure.
hold on, I'm trying to remember. Hold on, let me talk this through. They go into the aquarium. Oh, the octopus's tentacles come out of the vent.
Yes. Oh, that was great. Okay,
and he chops one with the axe.
Yeah. So
the crocodile comes around the corner and they both run away screaming.
Yeah, it was
That's what happened.
It was great. It's exactly what you should do in that scenario.
Right, right. It was hilarious.
Because the arm's like, you think it's gonna like, it's like sneaking from the arm, the tentacle camera, but then they turn and see it and you're like, you slash that. Thank you.
Okay, good. there are multiple tentacles coming down from the duct. Yeah. And he's like, and he has the axe and he's chops one.
Loved
it. Because the way that I wrote it, I thought the octopus chopped somebody.
Oh, like the bitch slap in the beginning?
Like karate chopped it with its, I keep wanting to say paw, but it's a tentacle.
Yeah.
So that's what I pictured, but that was not clear in my notes.
Yeah. And then the sudden crocodile was a great twist. Yeah,
it was pretty funny. So they're getting like bombarded. They're like, oh shit, this is all happening.
Yeah.
So we're back to Miranda and company. And they're trying to figure out how to get out of the quadrant that they're in.
I'm stunned they got out of the theater room.
Right. So at this point, we see a ton of mini starfish in the room with them creeping towards them. And so they don't explain it, but I'm assuming it's because they smash them up into little pieces. Mm-hmm. And then they do that thing where they...
Starfish regrow.
They regrow, but I guess it was like really fat. I don't fucking know. Or they snuck in from somewhere else.
Reanimated.
Right. So then...
You see one or two sneak into the binder.
Oh, you did?
Oh,
I didn't see that.
That the assistant lady's carrying.
Oh, that makes sense.
Is a plot line, which will come back.
Yeah. Now it makes even more sense because I was like, how the fuck did that happen? Okay. So at this point, Miranda remembers that the octopus has a tracking tag.
Oh, my God.
And the doctor's like, oh, yeah, totally forgot. It's not activated. I need to go get my cell phone because that's the only way I can activate it and track it.
Let's talk about more plot lines that weren't necessary.
Right. Can I just ask? Is this movie like a comment on over-reliance on technology and like what happens if technology fails? Was this movie written by my mom?
I feel like that's too big of a thought for this movie.
Well, because my mom's always like, you got to have a hard copy. Like, it can't all be on the computer.
And this movie's like, you got to have a key to open a door.
Listen,
yes,
it makes sense. And in a lot of instances, that's a smart thing to do. It's just funny that like everything they're talking about is like, oh no, the technology failed.
I'd be interested to talk to the director. So if you're out there, I'd love to talk to you just in general about shooting this film. But if that's the thing, I feel like that might be too big of a concept.
Yeah, it only just occurred to me right now. So who knows?
I don't know how I would feel if that was the real thing. I think I would be more upset if that was true.
So their plan is to go to the sea lion habitat, grab the doctor's phone and figure out where the octopus is and track it. And at this point, I wrote, someone needs to die.
Yeah.
Immediately.
And also, really, you're going to track the one, you're tracking one octopus versus just focusing your efforts on getting the fuck out of this building.
Well, because the octopus is the most dangerous one.
Yeah.
So they make a comment.
It's not small. You should know it's coming.
They say something about like it being a, they say something about a blue ringed octopus, but those are very small.
Very small.
So they're, I was they can like fit in the palm of your hand. So I was confused. I was like, wait, are they trying to say that this is a blue ringed octopus?
No,
or
I think that was more of your marine biologist showing off.
Gotcha. I didn't understand that. But from what they're saying, this octopus is super venomous. Mm-hmm. It's very aggressive. It's infecting everything. So they're trying to figure out where it is so they can avoid it, I guess, and to make sure it doesn't get out.
Well, it shouldn't get out. This building's locked down pretty good.
I mean.
I will say from my youth, I always loved blue ring octopus. They're adorable. Cute. So adorable.
They're so cute.
I would snuggle one in the right circumstance.
If it wouldn't murder you.
Yeah. It's up there with a jellyfish. Like a jellyfish looks like I want to snuggle it kind
of. Well, some of them are fine. You can touch them, but most of them will give you a little burn.
Don't touch jellyfish, listeners. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. It's a terrible idea.
Yeah. Google.
Live or dead. Don't touch them ever.
Google a box jellyfish. The Irukandji.
Yeah. Don't mess around.
Okay.
Google what happens if you touch jellyfish when they wash up on shore. It's bad. Don't do it.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go on a little tangent here.
That's okay.
So when I was a kid, we spent a lot of time at the Jersey Shore before it was like the MTV Jersey Shore. Actually, it was right on the cusp because there were a few times when we were down there and they had like the spring break sets on the boardwalk and stuff. But I was too young to be partaking in that. I just watched it on TV. My cousins would sometimes go see if they could get in or whatever. Oh, but point is, one time, I can't remember where we were. We're probably at like Seaside Heights or something because that's usually where we would go. You don't know what I'm talking about at all because you've never been to the Jersey Shore.
I'm just thinking Bruce Springsteen, Bon Jovi, New Jersey.
Right. Smelly. I mean, Sopranos.
I was gonna go there.
Whatever.
But...
Listen, even the people from Jersey know that that area of Jersey is smelly. It's okay, Jersey. Half of my family is from Jersey. Love you. So half of my family originated from Jersey, so I'm allowed to say that.
Sam at doilikethispodcast.com for all your feedback.
Sorry. You know, it's true. So we're at the beach and we all swam. The adults had a few drinky poos.
Some rum ham was consumed.
Probably. That's the type of people that half of my family are. I think it was my mom was out like on a floaty in the ocean because we would just get on those rafts and just go like.
Is she trying to get eaten by a shark?
Dude. As far as you can go before the lifeguard would tell you to come back. Like, I don't know how I did it. I look back and I'm like horrified, but whatever. So she's out in the ocean. My uncle is out there swimming around. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he had more than a few beverages at that point. There used to be a lot of jellyfish in the water from time to time. Like you'd get warnings like like don't even fucking go in because they're everywhere kind of thing. So apparently one was like right next to him and my mom drew his attention to it. I'm pretty sure this is how the story goes because I was there when it happened. And then she's also told it from this point or told it a few times. She pointed out to him and he was so startled by it that he turned around and fucking punched it. Okay.
Of course.
The man was covered in welts from like.
Yeah.
Head to mid torso where the water had not where the water line was.
Yeah, because you know what
cover
you know what's not going to be impacted too badly by a punch? A fucking jellyfish.
Yeah, it just
it's jelly.
It splattered everywhere, and just he got stung.
Oh my god!
Everywhere, and I just recall
that is such a Jersey response.
That was an upstate New York response.
Jersey would have been proud.
Yeah. Yes. I just have a vague recollection of him like laying on the blanket being miserable.
I can just imagine all your cousins your age being like, I'll pee on you.
I'm sure it happened. I'm positive that somebody offered to pee on him.
Oh, I'm sure someone probably tried to pee on him. So that would have been a fun moment.
With yeah,
jellyfish,
yeah.
A dead zombie jellyfish getting punched and exploded on people. I would have liked that.
Or just a dead zombie jellyfish launching at someone.
They had to step over.
So this next scene is, again, Miranda and company. The way they were going to go is flooded, obviously.
Yeah.
So she's like, oh, I just remembered. Let's go to the education lab. So they run into this room. She's like, it's under construction. So there's a ladder. And so they climb. She's like, we're going to climb this ladder. We're going up into the ducts and we're going to crawl across to the next quadrant.
All I could imagine was that episode of New Girl at the wedding with
the badger.
The badger in the ceiling. And that's what I wanted. It's not what we get, no. But it's what I wanted.
So she's like, all right, Senator is going to go first, then his assistant. And then, you know, Miranda's like, I'm going to go up behind you. So, and the doctor.
Yeah.
And so the senator goes to go in this hole in the ceiling that is so small.
Yeah.
I'm surprised his head fit inside of it.
Toddler couldn't fit in the hole.
It was so small. I was getting like stressed out by it.
Because I was a little bit. Yeah.
Like enclosed spaces like that. I mean, I feel like most humans do. So he goes up and the hole is so small, I would die is what I wrote. So he goes into the ceiling. The assistant goes into the ceiling. And apparently once you get in the ceiling, it opens up into this massive cavern of ductwork.
Yeah, it's not.
It looks like a boiler room.
Yeah. I thought we were going to get ceiling shenanigans and like an interesting like.
Oh my God, yes.
We get nothing. It's just a transition.
I thought the octopus was going to chase them. Heck, I thought
this would have been a great place for the starfish to make them anything, at least threatening of some sort.
Anything. Or some sea otters.
Ah! I know. The sea otters going to finally make their appearance. No, this I was expecting something from the scene and it let me down.
And so Miranda climbs up and they're like, where's the doctor? She goes, she's going to meet us there. And he's like, what? She's like, she'll meet us there. And I'm like, how the fuck is she going to meet you there? This is literally the only way that you can go, apparently.
This movie really stopped trying with its
maybe
continuity.
Maybe her contract was up at that point and
they already shot all they could shoot.
They couldn't get her back. So the senator is like complaining and then he says to his assistant, remind me to fire you when this is all over, blah 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 blah.
They come out of the ceiling and then we get the hardest of hard cuts.
I was really upset about how uneventful that whole ceiling climb was, and I wrote, no octopus chase, no dropping down into a nightmare of jellyfish.
Oh, that would have been fun.
Why?
It's under construction. It could have not been fully strong, fall into a bad situation. Oh, great idea.
But why nothing? Yeah. Okay. I'm just gonna stop like harping on all of the missed opportunities, but I can't help it.
I would have taken out like the assistant. You know, have her fall into a vat of something would have been great.
Jellyfish.
Eaten sharp by sharks. Who
Anything.
Cares? Use something, yeah.
Anything. Come down from the ceiling in the place where you thought you needed to come down, all of a sudden the crocodile's there and fucking eat you. Like anything.
Anything, yeah. Anything.
I will take anything. So then
They just climb down a ladder out of the ceiling on the other side, and it hard cuts to, I wrote S&D and I almost said Sam and Dean. It hard cuts to Daniel and Skylar running in and everyone meeting up.
So the assistant is screaming, oh my God, it's crabs. And she smashes through a door. And so that whole group is running through the door and then Skylar and Daniel come running in through the other side and
they
bump into each other. And then Miranda's group starts to run past and Daniel and Skylar like open the door and there's crabs.
Yeah.
And so then Daniel just starts smashing the crabs with the axe, going wild, and the whole group is just watching him.
Like, whoa.
And then Skylar makes a crab leg joke.
Crab
of
legs,
course,
anyone?
Because I was expecting that from the first crab battle. Ugh. I'm disappointed that they brought back the crabs.
Yeah, the crabs were done. It was good.
Right. I wanted it to be a different creature. You have an aquarium.
So many choices.
They could have been sea anemones. Okay.
Oh, that would fall into a thing of sea anemones.
They could have
been anemones. Anemones.
They could have been little Nemo fish.
Anything.
Anything.
You know what would be really good? It's like some of those moray eels.
Oh, my God. So creepy. Some barracuda.
Dude, those don't even need to be zombies. They're terrifying to me.
Agree. At this point, the doctor joins back up with them somehow. And then Miranda and the doctor run off together to go get the phone. Mm-hmm. And then Daniel and Skylar are like, well, we're not staying here by ourselves. So they follow. They don't show the senator and the assistant, but I think they all go together, right?
Yeah, the whole group goes together.
Yeah.
This is where I wrote, this movie is too long. Mm-hmm. and we're not quite to an hour in.
Yeah. It's because there's too much like stuff like this happening. Like, we don't need, we just need people like fighting through hordes of zombie creatures. I don't need all the story. We go into the veterinary office where the doctor is going to get her phone. And here's where they find Joe's body. Remember, Joe got eaten by the dolphin. They also find a syringe. Mm-hmm. And the doctor's like, that's the same one I used on the octopus. And Miranda's like, motherfucker, these are the ones that were supposed to be destroyed.
Eden Park on it.
Right. So she's pissed at Daniel. And he was like, oh, there must have been a mix-up. One of them must have gotten mixed up in the batch.
Well, look over there. Something shiny. Yeah.
And she takes him off to the side. And she's like, what's going on? And he's like, I swear I don't know. I have no clue what's going on. And at this point, Ian and I both noticed he and the senator give each other like a side eye, like, oh, hey, what's up?
One of the few times this movie does a good job with subtlety.
Yeah, I was like, oh.
Ooh. Ooh. You miss it if you didn't see it.
They're in on it together, whatever this is. Yeah.
I did enjoy Miranda pretty much giving him the mom talk of like, when we're done, we're going to talk about this.
Yeah.
Like, and he was just like, oh, man.
He was like, oh, whatever.
So now we are going to get the most disappointing scene in the movie to me. So our firefighters, persistent.
It's not only disappointing, it's like.
I mean, unnecessary.
Well, yeah. Well, go ahead and then we'll talk about
my feelings. Okay. The firefighters, the persistent little guys that they are, get in somehow to like through the perimeter. And they get to like
but an external. But they haven't been able to get into the building.
Yeah. So they've gotten onto the campus. And so they're at this moment where they see a stair going up in an elevator. And Beard firefighter starts using the elevator. And stair guy's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, what are you doing? There's a fire going on. You're going to try and trap yourself in an elevator. Whatever.
Yeah. The other thing is that at this point, they've ascertained that tanks must have been breached because mm-hmm. it's in lockdown. So if you're getting into the elevator, my first thought is the elevator going to open into a wall of water?
Good thought.
Drowning me?
Yeah. Not a great.
Right?
You can't get out of that once it opens.
Right.
Yeah.
He just was like, no, I'm getting in the elevator. And then it closes before the other guy can either stop him or get in with him. So since it's closed, the other guy just starts running up the stairs to go up as the other guy is riding the elevator.
Yeah. So as it closes, the other guy like breathes for a second. Then we get what I thought was going to be the best kill of the movie.
Man.
It pans up and spread across the elevator's entire ceiling is the octopus. And he's like cranky. And I was like, oh, hell yeah.
And it's growling. It's waving its tentacles.
It's great.
And the beard guy's just kind of like crouching, like, ooh.
And I thought it was just going to fall on him and consume him.
I thought we were going to get like a death machine moment with like the like murder, whatever.
This had the most potential.
Yes. I was I was like, oh, yay, a death. Finally.
No.
Nope.
He hits the door, it goes up, and he gets out.
Yeah, and he just runs out into the arms of his friend, and he was like, what the hell was that? And that's it.
Yeah. So thanks, movie, for teasing me with what would have been really awesome and giving you a couple more points, and then losing all those points by not doing it.
Plus some, because you set us up for something cool and fucking disappointed us.
And you even had the shot right.
Right. Like, it was because you kind of didn't expect it. Like, you mm-hmm. weren't sure it was going to happen. I thought the doors were going to open onto something scary. But all of a sudden, you like quick pan up.
It startled me in an exciting way.
And we're both
way.
Like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
And then nothing happened. It was so, so, so disappointing.
You achieved what you've been trying to this whole film.
I was really upset about it. So now everybody's like together going through the tunnels, Miranda and company and Daniel and Skylar. We get a little moment where the senator is and Daniel are angrily whispering to each other. They have a sabotage situation worked out, apparently. And the senator is like, how come you broke the glass when I was still in here? And Daniel's like, I didn't fucking do that.
Yeah.
And so at this point, I was like, I'm confused. Like, I get that they're in on something together, but I don't understand why or what their plan is.
It was not articulated in a way that ever made anything clear to the audience, which is kind of important in a movie. Just saying.
So then suddenly we get a zombie walrus comes out from one end of a hallway. And the zombie crocodile comes from the other side of the hallway.
When that zombie walrus came out, I had the same feeling of excitement when the merman comes out in Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah, because it was doing like, that like flopping yes, thing. Yeah.
This is what I wanted.
Yeah, I was pretty pumped about it. I was like, zombie walrus. Here's where they figure out that the animals are blind.
Yes.
Because the doctor's like, oh, the sounds they're making have intensified. Mm-hmm. It sounds like they're trying to communicate.
And their eyes are milky.
I wonder if they're blind.
Yeah.
So they're fucking blind.
So that makes so much more sense for many of the things that have happened in this movie, like why the crocodile didn't attack them, maybe why the octopus didn't kill the guy in the elevator. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But it's a little late in the movie for that reveal. Yeah.
And it also is just kind of silly.
Yeah, why?
It's
you can silly. Reanimate all of them except their vision.
I mean, okay. I'm fine with it, except that, like you said, it takes so long to get there.
Yeah.
That, you know, pretty early on in a movie like this, you kind of have to establish the rules, for lack of a better word. Mm-hmm. And it seems like the things could see them.
Especially the crab that jumped at Skylar's
face. Right, that are jumping at their faces. Like, yeah. Listen, maybe it's because they're making noise. I don't fucking know. But the point is, like, that's something to me anyway. Mm. Because at this point, we're almost done with the movie, right?
Are we? Yeah, well, no, there's we like, are. There's we are. Like, we are. I was a joke.
There's like a half hour left, I think. So we're over an hour into the movie. At this point, to me, with this kind of movie, listen, if it was a more sophisticated movie, then this reveal maybe could have been like something.
Sure, sure.
This kind of movie, I think that it kind of makes the creatures even less scary than they already are.
It takes all of the fear, because all you have to do is walk around quietly.
Right.
That should not be the solution for a movie like this.
It also, to me, did the Jurassic Park thing again with the T-Rex, where it's like, if you don't move, it can't see you.
Yeah. Well, you know who doesn't follow that advice is Skylar.
Yeah, Skylar gets riled up. He grabs the axe.
Oh, my God. I was so mad about this.
He leaps toward the walrus with the axe.
Somehow, he leaps at it to strike, and it just wrecks him.
It slaps him away with its face?
It tusks him into the ground.
No, that's not what happened.
Oh, no?
It slapped him down first. Mm-hmm. It deflected. It's
like a big walrus mitt.
Maybe. I thought it was its face, but it could have been that too. Could have been either thing. It happened very fast, and it's CGI. So.
And kind of off camera.
Right. Yeah. Yes, exactly. The problem with a lot of things in this movie. Then it just double tusk stabs him through his body, and he's dead, obviously. Rest in
peace, my favorite actor in this movie.
Right. I wrote, R.I.P. Skylar. So sad.
I was like, at least you got your walrus wish.
Well, and here's the thing for me, because up until now, like, Daniel and Skylar had been likable, and Daniel's starting to turn unlikable.
Yeah, they split that pair up.
And so so at this point, to me, like, they just were like, let's just get rid of Skylar because this duo is now over.
Well, my thought was they were like, at this point, let's just get rid of the only likable character other than Vivica A. Fox and just let these, maybe we'll kill all these people you don't like. Like, maybe make you think something exciting was going to happen. Yeah.
So then Vivica A. Fox lets them know, oh, the cameras are up so I can see everything. So now we're back to the group minus Skylar, and the crocodile is coming and everyone stays quiet. They're being quiet so the crocodile can walk by, and it just walks away.
He's just doing like a museum patrol.
Right, pretty much. So then they all run away, and they run straight into the walrus. And the doctor says, just shut up and go. And I thought she was going to like sacrifice herself, which she almost does kind of. But like we said earlier, she doesn't die. So, so she just records herself talking. And she's just describing the animal into her phone.
So I thought she was just like taking her final notes.
Right. That's what I thought too.
For her, like, remember me.
It's like autopsy notes, kind of. And so she's recording this and she's like backing away. And then she records it and then hits play and tosses it through a doorway.
Resourceful.
And then hides. And then the walrus flops by, like, bloop, bloop, bloop,
it was
crazy, and goes out the door toward the sound. So then there's more running and running. And running. Then they get to one of the doors to go outside, and they're all surprised that it's locked.
Yeah, they forgot that this thing was in lockdown.
It's in lockdown, but whatever. So now we're back upstairs to Clue, and she radios down to them, and she's like, I got good news and bad news. The good news is I'm able to override the lockdown. The bad news is All the fail-safe mechanisms are electronic, and there's no power. So
y'all head into the basement.
Right. The console is on a backup battery, which is why it's working, but you need to go to the basement and flip the breakers.
This is where the only time I like the senator, because his reaction was like, all right, we got to go. We know where we're going. Let's just go.
Right. So then Miranda sets up. She's like, all right, Miranda, in order to do it, we have to go through the next exhibit.
And like, what's the next exhibit?
It's sharks. And I wrote, duh.
Yeah, obviously. You've been building to this.
Right. And Ian said, well, yeah, it's the boss level.
Yeah, this is what we came here to see.
We both got so excited. Oh, my God. So excited.
I thought we were going to get like jumping Mako sharks, right, and like all the buildup from that VIP tour.
Yeah. Or anything. We're going to tell you guys right up front, none of that happens. And it's probably the most disappointing thing in the whole movie. So at this point, they're running away again. And the crocodile is just relentlessly following them.
It's like just a casual jaunt. Right.
It's kind of like a Michael Myers situation.
Yes.
Right. So everyone just hides and doesn't make a noise. And it's super anticlimactic because the crocodile just walks by.
Yeah.
And that's it. And I think that's the last time we see the crocodile.
Yeah, I think he was fed up with the film.
Yeah. He's like, I'm fucking out of here.
Guys, am I going to kill anyone? All right. I'm going to my trailer.
Yeah. I don't understand.
These contacts are driving me nuts.
That was a fun fucking crocodile and they did not use it appropriately.
Crocodile's a great killer.
And it's massive and terrifying looking. So then we come to a fishy tunnel and one side of it is smashed through and there's a bunch of sharks all over the floor.
Okay.
There's no water anywhere.
That was my question. I was about to ask you. One side of, and you can see there's still water in the tanks. Like it, there, no logic. I didn't expect our shark reveal to be hopscotch with sharks in a tunnel.
Yeah, that's basically what happens. I wrote, it's the Makos, and they better be running on their fins.
Seriously, that would have been good. I would have been awesome with that. That would have been awesome.
But that's not what happened.
The best thing about this scene is Clue and her reactions.
Oh my God.
Them as they dodge stuff.
She's live reacting, watching the video over her radio going, oh, oh, oh. It's hysterical. Awesome. It's so funny. Awesome. It's so good. So like Ian said, this is shark hopscotch. And so Miranda starts doing like the Catherine Zeta-Jones laser moves around the sharks, like tiptoeing over them. And at this point, the assistant is like, I don't feel so good.
Yeah, you can tell something's up with her.
Oh, my God. And so I wrote, starfish or anxiety? Because it could be a starfish somewhere, because we thought it was like one on her back or something, which we're pretty close.
We weren't far off.
Right. So then Daniel helps her. Mm-hmm. And this scene took fucking forever.
Oh, yeah.
Because it took at least a minute per person to tiptoe through the fucking sharks.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly what you think happens. The doctor's the last one to go.
She's tiptoeing. And I wrote, can someone die, please, 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 please. As she's about, like, there, she's like comically, it was like Monty Python skit of the silly walks. Her leg is like far up like in the air, ballerina. Pointed out. It was hilarious, but not a ballerina because she looked very silly. The shark reaches up its tiny little head and chomps her ankle. And then they all just pull her away and run away.
Yeah, they all attack and run her away and she's fine.
But then nothing else attacks.
Yeah, that was your sharks, guys.
That was the shark. It. All you see is nothing. So you see the back of their bodies on the floor as everyone's walking over them. And you see a tiny little head pop up.
Well, and actually nibble. You see it through Clue's monitor.
Right, right.
Like you don't even see it. In normal film.
So stupid. Ugh. I'm so stupid.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Don't tease me with sharks and then not give me real shark stuff.
We're back up to Clue and she notices that there's some fresh slime dripping. Mm-hmm. And we're like, uh-oh, octo attack. So then she screams and you see the octopus point of view like coming down on her.
Yeah. You're like, oh, what happened to Clue? Doesn't sound good. Mm.
So now we're back to Miranda and company, and they're back in the theater?
Dude, this theater, they must have rented it out for days to shoot this movie.
It must have been their only set piece. Mm-hmm. It was ridiculous. So I guess they're back in the theater, even though they're in a different quadrant, unless it's a different theater. I don't know.
I stopped trying to make sense of the logistics.
So the assistant like starts to pass out and she's like, oh, guys, I didn't tell you, but it lifts up her shirt and there's a fucking starfish attached to her body.
It's practically inside her.
Yeah, it's like eating her.
Probably should have notified somebody.
She's like, yeah, I didn't want to say anything. And everybody's like, what the fuck?
Miranda's trying to dig it out with a pen.
Right. And the doctor's like, the starfish is drinking her blood.
Like, rip it out of there.
Yeah. So she's trying to get it out, but it's already like, it's in her, she's it's in like her attached to her thralls. Body, right?
Yeah.
And then the assistant just dies. She's just like, yeah.
I was like, zombie Beth, maybe?
Right. No.
Ugh, nothing.
So Daniel's like, guys, I think we lost her. And then this is another like ER medical drama moment, because Miranda's like, no, I can save her. Give me just another minute. You guys, I can save her.
And by save her, she means I can just jam this pen into her stomach longer.
She's acting like a doctor who just lost a patient. She's like,
like, you barely know this woman.
She's fake crying like our kid does when she wants something that we don't want to give her. It's ridiculous. And then the senator is just standing there like not.
Yeah, he's not just like, interested. Meow. He's like, can we just move forward?
Then we hear an octopus growl. And this was like, it happened too fast and it was just not satisfying in any way whatsoever.
No, it just, it like engulfs the senator.
And then that's it.
That's it.
That's it.
I mean, he deserved to die.
Yeah.
I really wanted like a foreshadowed, like enjoyable end.
I wanted
for him.
Something where it was like the octopus attacks as opposed to just like falls on him and then they're
some thin
then
running then, makos, you know.
And they cut away and nothing.
Yeah. So we start to get a couple deaths here. They're not great.
So now we're back to our fire department guys and they're back outside the building.
My God.
And the one guy's on the phone with animal control and they're like, listen, we're really busy at Eden Park Zoo. It's wild
still
over
happening?
Here. It's wild over here. They say something about like cats, I think, but yeah, I'm like,
I don't even
at
know.
A zoo? What kind of fucking zoo is that? And so the fire department guys are just like, we have to get in there and just keep doing whatever stupid shit they're doing.
I would have been instantly like, giant octopus almost attacked and killed me. I don't have to get back in there ever. I'm good.
Well, let's wait for resources. They're waiting for animal control.
Yeah.
But animal control is like, yeah, it's going to be a really long time. And the fire department guys are like, oh, well, we need to get in there because there's people in there. And then end of scene. So now everybody has traveled to the basement. And so by everybody, it's Miranda.
Yeah.
Daniel.
Yeah.
The doctor.
Yeah.
The basement with where the breaker is like half filled with water.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the scene from Piranha Sharks.
It really did.
Right.
It's not a place you want to be.
No, it's kind of, it's not like a basement. It's like a boiler room water treatment plant situation.
100%.
So Miranda's like, I'm going to scale all these pipes. She like rips off her overcoat and she's got like tattoos down her arms and she's like scaling the pipes. Cause Ian's like, what's the point of that? And I'm like, I think they just wanted to be like, oh, look, she's a badass scientist, I guess.
I mean, she could have just been badass scaling the pipes parkour style, but whatever.
Yeah, it was very weird. So then at this point, there's all this water beneath her and the octopus jumps up from the water. This guy gets around quick.
The rules don't really apply to the octopus when it comes to its blindness.
Yeah, because she's not really making a lot of noise, is she?
No, she's swinging.
Yeah.
And it just seems to find them. I'm fine with it, but.
Yeah, it's, listen, maybe it hears them and it has other senses.
Yeah.
But it just seems silly to me. It's a little bit too, like, aware.
Yeah.
Here's where we get what started off as what could have been the coolest part of the movie and turns into...
I don't even know how it made that change.
Strange. It just... I'll describe it.
Yeah.
Clue somehow is alive. And woo! She pops up.
Hell yeah.
She looks a little beat up, but she's alive somehow.
Still being badass.
She grabs the axe from Daniel and she does... looks like axe giant. She takes the axe above her head, jumps at the octopus in the water.
I was like, yeah.
At first, she looks like axe giant jumping.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, she looks like Hans Gruber, like flail falling.
Perfect analogy.
Into the CGI water.
What happened with her jump?
And then nothing.
She went from a slashing position to a backwards fall. It made no sense.
It was so stupid because we're both like, yeah.
What?
It was very stupid.
My.
I was really upset because she looked so, like, she looked like a badass when she jumped. And then all of a sudden she's flailing and falling.
Like, you could have at least, like, had her get slapped in the air by the octopus something. Or something to let her, like, be like, I didn't just mess up my own jump to my death.
The only positive thing about this to me is that they don't show her dying. They show her going under the water in some redness. So maybe she hit it with the axe. I don't know.
She could be in the sequel.
Right. I think she's the star of the sequel. Make it happen, Asylum. My hope is that she didn't die. She got injured and she's fine.
Hey, she has had close calls of the octopus in this movie from four and survived.
She's in the sequel. Maybe she lost an arm and now has an axe arm or something, right?
Ooh, robot arm.
Yeah. So now Miranda is still climbing and she says to Daniel, I can't get to the breaker from here. I have to go to the generator. I'm going straight to the generator.
Daniel's like, no. Okay.
And maybe this is how the octopus hears, because she's as she's climbing. And I'm like, dude.
Yeah, her cardio fails her quick.
Chill the fuck out, man. So now it's just her and Daniel.
Gotta do leg day.
And I wrote, my theory is that Clue survived because she fought the octopus in an epic underwater battle. So like I said, bring her back for the
sequel. You know what would be great in the sequel? You start with a flashback to that epic underwater battle. Give us that battle.
It'll be like Lord of the Rings when Gandalf was fighting the Balrog. And then in the Two Towers. I think it's only in the extended edition, but I only ever watch the extended edition, so I don't remember if it's in the regular one. Correct me if I'm wrong, fellow nerds. But yeah, that's actually kind of what I thought about. So now we have Miranda over by the generator. She's on the ground now, tiptoeing around. There's lots of growling. Now we have our plot device, a live wire hanging from the ceiling. She goes over the generator, turns on the power. All the doors start flying open, not just unlocking, opening. And I'm like, that's a terrible idea. All these zombie monsters.
Yes. Horrible decision. I also thought what would have been funny is if there were people outside who are like, oh, I can go to the aquarium now. Oh my God. That could have been fun. But
yeah.
Between the live wire and all the generators and stuff, it felt a lot like the end of Ghost in the Machine. Mm-hmm. I was like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. If they 3D print this motherfucker, I'll be so happy.
So the octopus comes crawling at her. It's bigger than it has been this entire time. It grew.
It grew. I'm all for it.
Maybe it's because it just ate a few people. I don't know. She climbs up, Miranda climbs up and pulls down the live wire, duh. And then she just stabs it into the octopus and electrocutes it. Okay. And that's it.
This little octopus is clearly smart. I feel like it should have had a better approach to that fight, but whatever. The movie needed to end.
Listen, as every death in this movie has been, pretty much, anticlimactic.
But at this point, I was also like, please end. So fine. Yeah.
At this point, the fire department guys are finally inside the building.
Yep.
They have saved the doctor. They're carrying her out because
she survived.
She somehow survived. They left her laying somewhere, I guess, and she somehow survived.
She might be one of the, if you have her genetics, you're going to live to 410 years old because you are just going to be a survivor. Yeah,
so she'll be in the sequel too.
Yeah, she's a Keith Richards descendant.
Yeah. Miranda and Daniel are standing outside the building arguing about the disposal of the syringes. She goes, we're going to go right back inside right now. We're going to your desk. You're going to show me the disposal order, or you're going to tell me what the fuck is up.
I looked at you and I was like, I feel like you want to handle all these zombie animals first before going to find the disposal order. Take a little bit, make sure things are good, then go do it.
I would, at that point, she knows he's involved. I would have just shoved him back inside and locked the door and been like, fend for yourself, motherfucker.
I mean, I wouldn't have been against that ending.
So he says, it's the senator's idea. He told me not to destroy them. And he said it was to make money. Were they going to sell them?
I don't know.
I don't understand.
They didn't have a clear idea of what they wanted.
They didn't really explain that at all. She says to the fireman, she goes, take him into custody. And he's like, ma'am, I don't have that authority. I am here to, help people and to provide medical attention if they need it. So she punches Daniel straight in the face. Just and the fine. Fireman goes, that'll do it.
Yeah.
And then the movie fucking ends.
Just ends.
It just ends. We get nothing. We get no resolution for anything. We barely get any deaths. And the deaths we get are not good. They're mostly off screen or they're super anticlimactic. I was so underwhelmed. There were not enough animals. There were not enough animals going wild. There are not enough people dying. There's too much trying to be funny. This movie could have been so much better. Adding in just a couple more animal attacks and removing a few little like scenes that were slow, this movie could have been one of the best Asylum movies. It has so much potential.
Such a fun idea.
Yes.
Such a good idea. Whoever came up with the idea, bravo.
Right. And there were elements that were really fun. Like the crabs were funny. Mm-hmm. The Skylar and Daniel stuff. The walrus
was great.
Yeah, the walrus was good.
Even the octopus was good.
Right. But they relied too heavily upon the octopus as the villain. I understand that you need that people feel the need for like a central villain, but I feel like the virus was the central villain,
right? I think
right?
The biggest issues I have, the spacing of the kills was just so inconsistent. And there was just such a stretch from the whole, once the tank bursts to when you get another kill, that's just so much jargon, so much, just too much stumbling and bumbling back and forth from the theater.
Yes.
That just doesn't need to happen that way.
Well, and so to me, you have the tank breaking should have been the beginning of like frantic.
Yes.
Attack, running, hiding, whatever. You see these movies like I'm going to say Deep Blue Sea again.
Sure.
Because that movie does it so well where all of a sudden everything starts to flood and you're trying to figure out how to get out and you're being hunted basically. Right. And so this movie doesn't do that, and it should have done it, and it could have done it, and it could have been super effective.
It really could have been.
Yeah.
I wanted to like this movie so much. I really, really did.
I did too, because the stuff I saw, the promotion for it looked like it was going to be really fun.
And, you know, I knew what I was getting into with an Asylum film.
Right.
And
right.
I enjoy them overall. I have a good time with their films usually. At the end of this movie, I had fun for about half the movie.
Yeah.
I would definitely not watch it again.
No.
I would not recommend anyone watch it. Watch the trailer. Look at some of the promotional stuff, but I didn't like it.
Yeah. So do I like this? Unfortunately, I don't. And I wanted to. I think I wanted to like this more than any of the other movies that we watched because the hype for it was, you know, they did a really good job at marketing it.
Absolutely.
For like a small independent, well, smallish, independent-ish company. I thought the stuff that I had seen, I was like, oh, this is going to be hilarious. It's going to be ridiculous and hilarious, and it's going to be enjoyable. And unfortunately, it was just like moments of being enjoyable and then long periods of it being like a slog.
I think I was more excited for this one than I was from the promotion for the first Sharknado. And I was so excited for the first Sharknado. Because that's, I mean, you know me, that's my wheelhouse of film. But this, I still just can't get over how upset I am at what a good idea this was. And what could have been.
Right. I think I said to you before we watched it, like, oh, this is probably going to be their next Sharknado franchise because of the way they're pumping it up, because it has the capacity to be that.
Could you imagine like it going like Aquarium of the Dead, Bay of the Dead, Pacific Ocean of the Dead, Earth of the Dead? Like it just keep like slowly expanding out the scope of it.
I think you're giving them too much credit, unfortunately.
I know.
I really thought that it was going to be way more than what it was, and it was just really underwhelming.
Yeah,
it was kind of boring.
There was a lot of it,
which it shouldn't have
that
been.
Whole middle, like you said, there was a lot of boring.
Anytime that it wasn't on Daniel and Skylar, it was like, oh, come on, can we hurry up and get back to the guys who are funny, where there's actually action happening?
Yeah,
because they were actually like running and moving and going from place to place, and things were happening to them.
They were one-liners were flying, and they were.
They were fighting crabs.
They're fighting crabs. They're joking with each other. Yeah.
Right. And then Miranda and company were just like, oh, let's leave the theater. No, let's go back to the theater. Let's leave the theater.
Talk about the starfish's venom being too venomous.
And I understand the need for that. I understand the need for the exposition and the story and all that. But it was so overdone, and they just kept hammering it into you.
And no one in that group was likable. No. That was the problem. Too.
I know. Miranda was
just supposed
annoying.
To be, I guess.
They were all just annoying.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, better luck next time, Asylum.
I know. I'm really disappointed. Clean it up, man.
Yeah. Let's do do Aquarium of the Dead 2. Take another shot at this, because I really think the idea is there.
I think that if they
reach out to us for notes, we will be happy to give them.
I think we've given them a lot of notes.
We'll take a pass at the script if you give us a draft.
We've given you all of our good ideas. So take them and do something better with it, please.
Yes.
Thank you.
Now, to our listeners, take all this episode and leave us a 5-star review on Apple.
Right.
Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. All of our links and our contact are in the episode notes.
Mm-hmm. And listen, rating, subscribing, whatever you can do is super helpful to us.
Yeah.
We appreciate everybody who has done so thus far. We have a really great supportive group of people that listen to us. And I know we've been like sort of having
life
the last like month or so, but it's getting back to normal. So hopefully we'll be able to, you know, we're going to be more consistent. We're working on some other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we'll be coming down the pike. So, you know, just, you know, hang in there, friends.
Yeah.
We appreciate you.
We'll see you on the socials. We'll see you every Thursday here. Thank you guys so much for listening. Please don't watch this movie.
Or watch it and come up with what you think the sequel should be and let us know.
Until next time.
Bye. Hold up. We're not done.
We have a quick postscript this week as some information has come to light after recording the podcast.
So we were complaining the whole episode that the Eden Park Zoo situation was never explained. And apparently, neither of us looked at trivia for this beforehand because
it was very well explained in two separate films.
Yeah, Zoombies and Zoombies 2 apparently occur in the same world. This is
Zoombie Boogaloo.
Right. I mean,
why maybe?
So Eden Park Zoo is from Zoombies. And so watch those movies. I unfortunately had seen the first one a couple years ago.
And I'm going to make her see the second one at some point in time. I'm going to surprise her with it.
The lady in the Zoom call was the lady from the movies. Like, it's all connected. So that explains a bunch of stuff.
And apologies for our critique that there was no backstory to this.
No apologies, because you shouldn't have to walk into a movie not knowing that it's a trilogy and have zero explanation for anything other than mentioning the name of a zoo.
You know what? I take that back. Put it on your title somewhere and make it clear that this is the third in a trilogy.
Or something.
So there you have it. Thanks for listening.